Welcome to Logical with Ludmila, where we untangle the legal knots so that you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Yamalova, a U.S. qualified lawyer based in Dubai. In each episode, we break down complex law into clear and practical insights that you can actually use. In today's episode, we'll discuss the UAE's media law. Over the past few weeks, headlines have been circulating across all media outlets and social media platforms claiming that the UAE has just passed a new media law. The resulting buzz has led to confusion, especially among influencers, digital creators, and professionals who share content online. So now let's get the record straight. We're recording this podcast in June of 2025, and I have to tell you that there's no new media law that was issued in 2025. So the core law regulating media in the UAE was issued, in fact, in 2023, which is 2 years ago. What is new is the 2025 cabinet decision, which introduces a penalty framework to enforce the 2023 media law. In other words, the current, the most recent regulation, it's basically a layer, an add-on to the existing media law that more specifically sets out penalties for violation of this very much the media law that was issued in 2023. So it does not impose any new obligations. Instead, it establishes a very structured system of consequences for violating those already existing obligations. So let's take a step back and look at the full picture chronologically and legally. So at the high level, what is the UAE media law legal framework? So there are, in relevant terms, basically four legislation. The first one was introduced, the first one as that comprised the current UAE media legislation was introduced in 2022, which is now almost 3 years ago, and that's Federal Decree Law number 38. And according to this decree, the UAE Media Council was created, which is the federal authority which was put in charge of overseeing licensing, compliance, and classification of everything related to media. So that's the first law that was introduced that comprises the framework that relates to media legislation and media enforcement. Then in 2023, the new law was introduced, and that is perhaps is the substantive law that is the media law in the UAE. So that's the main law, and that's Federal Decree Law number 55 of 2023 on media law, basically. That's sort of the name. And so this is at a high level, kind of the main law that governs media activity, content creation, licensing, and publication in the UAE. So remember, the first law that was issued in 2022 that relates to media is setting up the authority that will govern everything to do with media. But until 2023, that authority was still governing the media world on the basis of the laws that had existed before 2023, which, by the way, was a 1980 law, so it was quite a dated law. So in 2023, that law replaced the 1980 law, and now that same media council that was created just a year before was now in charge of legislating and regulating and enforcing the 2023 law. So then in 2024, which is a year later, there was another cabinet decision, which is cabinet decision number 27, which is called the executive regulations. And this is very typical in the UAE, is that there is the main law that's issued. And then subsequent to that, there will be additional regulations, cabinet resolutions, decrees and circulars that further define or detail or explain certain aspects of the main law. So that was the main law did make reference, as is the case with most other substantive laws, they make reference to future regulations, in particular executive regulations. So in 2024, that was the regulation that was introduced. And for the time being, it's perhaps like the main regulation that layers on to the media law. And that's, once again, Cabinet Resolution number 27 of 2024. And as is usual, the role of the regulations, it implements the 2023 media law. So it doesn't create anything new. It more sets out a framework to implement the substantive law in more detail by defining, for example, the license categories and exemptions, procedures, and classification criteria. It also provides technical implementation for the 2023 law, which means sort of how do we put this law into practice. So it provides more of a roadmap of what to do in sort of a day-to-day life. And it also standardizes licensing procedures and sort of clarifies certain exemptions. So that's just a kind of high level of what that executive regulation included in sort of in part. Now, the regulation also, interestingly enough, added or defined, further defined the license categories that fall under the media council and the media law in terms of the type of media license that exists. And there's more than 30 license categories, and some just in kind of a high level. Some of them include influencer marketing, podcast production, film production, and documentary film production, and digital journalism. There are many more. Obviously, this is just a sample of the 30 different license categories, and we can talk about them a little more shortly. So that was the 2024 executive regulation. Now, this year in 2025, which is perhaps why we're recording this podcast today, that is in June 2025, is what was introduced just a few weeks ago was this the Cabinet Decision Number 42 of 2025 regarding penalties in connection with enforcement of the media law and its executive regulations. So once again, this particular decision does not introduce anything new. It introduces the official penalty structure for violations of the main 2023 law and its executive regulations, and we'll talk about it more shortly. So just going to wrap up the discussion. So as of 2025, the law remains as it was in 2023. So the most, the substantive and the most recent media law is the one that was issued in 2023. Everything around it is kind of an add-on or a layer to the main law that further gives details and explanations and certain protocols and instructions in terms of to the authorities in terms of how to make sure that the law is implemented and properly enforced. The most recent penalties regulation is quite detailed in terms of what constitutes what violation, a specific penalty attached to it. Okay, so now let's discuss the perhaps kind of the purpose or the objective of why the media laws exist to begin with, and in particular in the UAE, and why they were maybe introduced when they were introduced. I mean, we're in 2025 still, although the Media Council was introduced in 2022, the actual media law was, the current media law was only introduced 2 years ago. So it's quite recent. And perhaps this is not surprising because the media industry has been evolving and by leaps and bounds and developing in so many different and perhaps unexpected ways that the previous media law that existed in the UAE that was issued in 1980 obviously was very, very dated. All these four legislations and relevant terms combined have sort of set out primary objectives of, you know, this sort of legal framework. And as is expected, you know, one of the objectives, and these, by the way, are stated in the law, and they're important to understand because, as is very typical with most laws, certain provisions require interpretation. It's not clear, and I'll give you some specific examples of this particular media law and what requires interpretation. This is why the objective of the law is important, because the objective is when things perhaps could have multiple meanings or not so clear, you go back to the objective and you try to analyze those specific terms in terms of just the overall objectives. So one of the objectives of the law that's stated in expressly is to protect the public from harmful, misleading, offensive, and unverified information. It is also the second objective, again, it's not particular any particular order or numbering, but at a high level, is to ensure that individuals and entities who are professionally engaged in content creation and dissemination of this information are regulated and accountable. Fair enough. And this is by the way, very important for the region in particular and for the UAE, is to reinforce the UAE's culture, moral, and religious values, especially in the digital sphere. We all know and agree that the UAE is very progressive and is very rapidly evolving and very all-encompassing and very edgy in its approach, in particular with regards to media. You know, UAE is perhaps one of the first countries that I knew of where social media and influencers actually had an official spot or a seat at the media table, so to speak. So they're very progressive and very forward-thinking in that way. But with that as well, obviously, it's important to remember that we're still in the UAE and surrounded in the Middle East region. And therefore, as is the case with every country, this country has very specific sort of cultural and moral code, if you will, and religious values. And so it's important to, while it's a very diverse society, there are certain sort of bottom lines, certain ground rules that need to be remembered and applied in practicing any kind of media publishing and media content creation. And at the same time, so the other, perhaps the final objective of the laws is to promote transparency, safety, and quality in the growing media and influencer economy, which is also very important because if we don't have the rules that are clearly outlined, then it just creates too much room for interpretation, misinterpretation, which obviously does not benefit the society. So the idea of these laws is to put specific laws and regulations in place that are accessible to all. So there's all of those who are find themselves in the media sphere know what to abide by. So in short, these laws don't criminalize content, and this is what we're talking about. They structure it. So they ensure that those who profit from publishing information do so ethically, legally, and responsibly. So now let's talk about, I guess, some of the specific sections. When we talk about today's discussion, we'll focus mainly on the media law itself, right? So the main body of law. And at times there is certain additions or layers from other regulations, but in more or less, we'll be talking about the media law with irrelevant terms, making reference to some of the regulations. So if you want to look up any of these references, then make sure to go not into the 2025 decision, which will not be very substantive, and not to the 2022 decision, but rather into this 2023, the media law plus the regulations. And by the way, perhaps before I delve in further, it's not an incredibly detailed law, or it's not a very lengthy law, but it's a fairly substantive law. So therefore, what we're doing today, we're just covering it more or less at a high level. There's many other provisions and many other nuances that are addressed in the law that obviously beyond the scope of this particular podcast, it just would not be of much interest to you either if I delve into every aspect, every provision of the law. So I kind of picked out the most interesting parts of what the law addresses in the way that I expect the audience, the listeners, would find interesting, and generally speaking, what would we from experience would be applicable to all those who are in the media space. So as per the main law, so the objective of this specific law is to create a centralized federal authority to regulate all media activity, as already said, and to ensure unified oversight across all emirates. So this is very important. So because often, especially in the influencer space, Dubai is such a vibrant and dynamic and exciting and fast-moving economy and society that sometimes people think, okay, well, this is Dubai has its own, it's almost like its own law, media law, but it isn't. It does not have that. So the media law we're talking about, it's a federal law. So it applies to all emirates equally. The media council, it's also a federal authority, which means it oversees activities throughout all of the UAE, so in all the emirates. Just because the Media Council, for example, is headquartered in Abu Dhabi does not mean it does not apply to those practicing or creating content in Ras Khaimah or Dubai. So this is important to understand that there is a centralized law and centralized authority that governs media law and media industry in the UAE. And that's this very authority that also creates and so develops and implements a national media strategy, and there is such a thing. So at a high level, the scope of the law, it applies to all traditional and digital media channels operating in the UAE. Among other things, for example, the UAE Media Council it has a lot of different authorities and powers, but some of the kind of relevant terms, what it does, it issues licenses, and this is important. We'll come back and delve into it a little more. It monitors compliance. It enforces sanctions and approves classifications and coordinates media policy across platforms and borders. So that's kind of the definition of the Media Council. With regards to the media law, as I mentioned earlier, it's a big deal because it replaces the 1980 law, which was very much outdated. And so as a result, it modernizes media governance for the digital age and by the same token promotes the UAE identity and public values that and these days mainly are being communicated through the digital channels. But at the same time, and this is very important, is that the purpose of the Media Council and the law is to obviously combat misinformation and protect youth and public morality. I mean, this is very important, especially given where we are and the sort of geopolitical and religious and cultural underpinning of this society. So with regards to the application of who the law applies to, it has very, very broad applications. In sort of simple terms, it applies to all persons and entities involved in media activity in the UAE. Now, what does that mean? So there are a number of definitions in the law itself that are important. But as I said earlier, I cannot dive into every one of them. We can just pick a few to discuss. So, for example, some of the most relevant definitions is, let's say, media content. Media content is basically any material, text, image, video, audio, or digital material that's intended for public dissemination. So that's media content. Then another important definition is media establishment. What is a media establishment? And at a high level, it's a commercial or institutional entity whose core activity is media. Now, these are just the definitions. We'll talk about more specifically what it means in the more practical context and specific examples. But this is just in terms of just remembering that whatever we talk about today, if you have questions later about, does this apply to me and what is it I need to do, very much depends on the type of activity you are conducting. So if you choose not to go and consult with a lawyer, then at least very least dig out this law, read the law and read the definitions, because this podcast, for obvious reasons, only designed to give you sort of an outline of what's important in the law, but not to give you sort of detailed advice that applies to your specific activity. And then the other definition that is relevant is the content creator. Who is a content creator? So as per the law, it's an individual who produces or monetizes content as a business. That's a sort of simple but yet very loaded phrase or a term, and we'll kind of give you a little more texture to what that means in a bit. Some of the other kind of high-level aspects of the media law is just the mandatory licensing requirements for all media activities. That means, in very simple terms, and we'll speak about it in more detail in a bit, and that is, if you're in media that is covered by this law, you need to have a license. What license? That depends on your activity. So that's kind of one substantive role and purpose of the law. The other one, it creates basically 20 content standards. What does that mean? It's basically standards that define what content is legal and allowed in the UAE, and therefore, by extrapolation, what is not allowed. So, among other things, some of these standards prohibit hate speech, religious defamation, and immoral content. And remember, these are just some examples. There's 20 different standards, and I would not be surprised if there will be few further regulations in the future that will add more standards to this list. The other one is the age classifications. There is different age classifications that relate to the type of content and different segments of the population. And one of the other part of the licensing aspect of the law is that local office requirements for foreign media entities. So this is also important because as if you're foreign media, for example, let's say CNN, I don't know, BBC. So in order to transmit data or public information or information in the UAE, you need to have local presence. And I guess as part of the licensing and content parts of the law, there's a pre-approval process that the law addresses. So if you want to apply for a license, there's a process of how to do it. And also before you publish certain kind of content, you also need to get pre-approval from the Media Council. So that's sort of high level what the law tackles or aims to tackle. Now let's delve in a little more specifically to the specific sections of the law. So what is a media entity? Because the law applies to media entities and media. So the legal framework does not apply to everyone, obviously, who shares content online. And I have to tell you, because depends on how you read the law, you could it could be read as very much all encompassing. And include anybody who transmits information in through digital channels or otherwise. But really what the law aims to do is specifically targets those whose core business is media, which is defined as the systematic creation, monetization, and dissemination of public content. So, for example, according to the law itself, the provision of the law in terms of the definition of media activity, the definition is any activity involving the creation, production, publication, broadcasting, dissemination, or monetization of content across traditional or digital platforms targeting the public. Now, this includes information, news, opinions, entertainment, educational content, artistic or creative works. And obviously the medium that are covered is print, radio, television, cinema, social media, websites, mobile apps, podcasts, and streaming platforms. So you could see that if you just zero in on that specific definition of media entity, it could be read very broadly, and it could include basically anybody, including, let's say, me here doing this podcast as requiring a license. However, that's not the purpose of the law. The law is really just, the purpose of the law is to regulate those whose primary business, the core business, is nothing but dissemination of information. So they have no other kind of core business activity. So in the case of lawyers, you know, obviously we provide legal advice, we study law, we apply law, we argue law, so that's our main and the core practice, and therefore our presence in the media, in the digital world or in the media, is more communicating parts of our core profession, professional expertise. So, but the media law covers anybody who doesn't have that kind of expertise. It just purely, their very core purpose and only purpose is to basically to exist online, to provide information, to gather information, to create content and just get it out and basically make money on it. So more specifically, the law does kind of detail some of the specific examples of who are subject to this law. So these are individuals and organizations that fall within, that are sort of called media establishments as per the law. And therefore, if you are qualified or deemed to be media establishments, you are required to register, classify content, and obtain a license from the UAE Media Council. So remember, that's kind of how the whole sort of legal framework is set up. So you have the Media Council, then you have the law, and then you have the different penalties. And so the purpose of this law is to exactly that, just to make sure that all those who are in the media, all the media outlets or individuals who are in the media are registered, classified properly, and have a proper license. So this includes obviously the traditional media outlets such as print, newspaper, and magazines in the UAE. We know Gulf News and The National are some examples. It also includes television channels and radio stations such as Dubai TV, Sharjah Radio, publishing houses, So that's kind of the traditional media outlets, as well as digital and online media platforms, such as online newspapers and news aggregators, as well as digital magazines and editorial websites, platforms that publish or syndicate third-party content. Some examples for the purpose of the UAE are Loving Dubai or What's on Dubai. So that's the online digital media. The third category is the streaming and broadcasting services. These are on-demand platforms such as Stars Play or Angami or SN Plus, live broadcast platforms, video hosting services with monetized content. So that's the streaming and broadcasting services. The next category is content creators and influencers, and that's perhaps these days is the main category. But these are content creators and influencers if they're monetized or promote their business or other businesses. So these are obviously social media influencers earning revenue from ads, sponsorship, or paid content. It's YouTubers or TikTokers with monetized accounts, influencers promoting products, services, events, or brands, personalities running lifestyle channels with affiliate links or endorsements. Notably, even unpaid collaborations may fall under this category if they involve promotional value or audience influence. So, for example, let's say I wanted, I was approached by, a hair product company to help me to promote their hair product. And here I am, promoting or talking about this specific product and showing you what a beautiful product it is and how beautiful my hair is. But I don't get paid by them, but I do get their hair product. Maybe I get not just for myself, but I get everybody in my office and all my friends. So that's not necessarily a paid collaboration, but it is a collaboration that has that has value to me. So value that's basically can be converted. Converted and monetized value because I can take these hair products, I can sell them to my friends. And so this is important to remember that it's not always related to monetized or monetary value of collaborations. Another category of media establishments is podcast producers and audio platforms. These are professional podcast channels with, again, advertising, sponsors, or business backing. And agencies producing podcasts for public dissemination, as well as platforms offering serialized public audio content. So these are kind of more professional podcast studios, if you will, and agencies. So I guess let's use this example of my podcast. Do I fall under the definition of media establishment because I have my podcast? Well, if you saw sort of the behind the scenes of this studio, we run it straight from our office and we just do it all with the resources that we have internally. So we are far from your kind of professional podcast studio. But let's say even if we were, because this is not our core business, kind of an add-on to the services we provide as part of our profession, we would not fall under this. But certainly this particular category in the law aims to subject those professional podcasters and studios to its regulations. The law also covers filmmakers and video production houses. These are film studios and producers of commercial short films or feature-length movies, documentaries, corporate videos, or branded entertainment, and as well as distribution platforms. It also includes expressly game developers and publishers. So this means companies producing or distributing games for sale or download in the UAE, as well as interactive digital content creators, especially if content includes storyline, education, or violence, or mature themes. So they're also subject to this law. And remember, when I'm saying subject to this law, I always talk about sort of two main categories, A, licensing, and B, the type of content that is allowed and under what circumstances it's allowed. And then the next category is advertising and public relations firms. So these are agencies running paid media campaigns, PR firms in digital media production or public communications, digital marketing companies managing influencer content or paid promotions. Now, let me zero in on this a little bit, because what we're talking about here is, you know, already sort of established agencies, right? PR agencies, social media agencies. But so what this law requires is for those agencies to obtain an additional license. So they have right now, they have their license as a commercial entity, as a legal entity. They have a license from wherever the authority they're set up as a business. Now, as you know, from at least 2023, and when the media law was introduced, they're also required now to obtain an additional license from the Media Council to be able to do this. So that's in addition to their economic or their business license. And sort of the other category, as is expected, that is subject to this law is the AI, everything to do with AI, AI-powered media platforms. And we know there are many of them. So it's tools and platforms that autonomously generate or publish media for public consumption. And AI-generated news articles, videos, reviews, or interactive content. So these are all the different categories that comprise, you know, what's called the media establishment or media company. So these are the different types of companies, businesses that are expressly subject to the law. Now, who is not? They're not subject to the law, meaning they don't have to obtain the license from the council, nor do they need necessarily to seek approvals to publish certain kind of content because they're not subject to this law. That being said, as I, you know, we still need to keep in mind that even as a law firm, there's certain the content standards that I described, they sort of apply, they apply to anybody in the UAE. They should apply at least theoretically to anyone in the UAE who produces content, and which means sort of content hate speech is clearly still is not allowed and is not tolerated by anybody, you know, whether it's issued by a licensed media company or not. Similarly, anything that's defamatory to the state or the religion, same sort of thing. So it does, even if you're not licensed by the Media Council, you still, in terms of content creation and content dissemination, you still need to keep in mind that these standards would apply to you, although there are other laws, like the cyber law, for example, that would apply that additional would apply. But certainly this is a good kind of roadmap or a good filter to keep in mind for all those who share their information, even as part of their business, with the greater audience. Okay, so now let's go back to sort of who's not covered. So it's basically, as I said earlier, professionals and businesses that are not in the business of media, but they use social media to share their expertise. Now, let's face it, that has to be the case, because if it wasn't, then basically everybody would have to be subject to this law. And that's because most businesses these days, they do have presence in the online sphere. But obviously the purpose of the law is the aim of the law is not to seek to regulate professional speech, but rather sort of targets those whose entire business model is built around content monetization. So therefore, you know, some examples of those businesses who perhaps have a very active and dynamic social media presence in terms of content sharing, such as even my firm, then they include lawyers that are offering legal updates, accountants or auditors explaining tax concepts and regulatory changes, doctors, psychologists, or any kind of other health experts sharing wellness information and providing public education. Financial advisors sharing economic commentary, engineers and architects showcasing projects, and any type of sort of educators and consultants offering instructional videos. So these individuals are not media professionals, right? As much as I'd like to think that, oh, I'm a media star, I'm not. I'm a lawyer, and so I do this kind of as an add-on, but as per the law and the definition of the law, we are not, all of us, the professionals who also share information through digital channels, we are not media professionals. So under the law, this, you know, we are not considered media professionals, and therefore we're not subject to the regulations, in particular the licensing requirement. So other types of businesses that are not subject is like business promoting their own services, right? They're not subject to the law either. So as I mentioned, you know, law firms, clinics, or agencies sharing just internal content to promote themselves, or company pages posting about their activities or products, or professionals posting thought leadership on LinkedIn or blogs. I mean, you know, that's why I said the objective of the law is very important to kind of set out as a filter early on in the discussion, because sometimes certain provisions in the law could be more broadly interpreted to include all of us. So, you know, all of these professionals posting, you know, sort of various commentary about themselves, promoting themselves, or companies promoting their products. But obviously, that's not the purpose of the law. I've sort of touched upon this before, but important to highlight again that third-party content creators producing promotional content on behalf of these businesses, for example, an agency that I might have hired to promote my firm, they may fall under the media licensing regime. Then another category of businesses that are also promoting their services, they're not subject to the law. And I guess we've sort of discussed all those. There's many more, obviously, involved. I just picked examples that come to mind based on our own experience. But the key test here is what is my primary activity? Is it media, or is it something else? So, I mean, again, this what I'm sharing with you now is more of a legal extrapolation and interpretation of the law versus a specific provision in the law. But the test for you is my primary activity media? If the UAE media law applies, if the answer to most of these is yes, so is your core business to publish or distribute content to the public? So if yes, then you would fall. Do you monetize your content through ads, sponsorships, or platforms? Do you produce media professionally for other entities or the public? And are you a registered media company or media freelancer? Do you manage public-facing media platforms or content campaigns? So if so, then you're subject to the law. If not, you're likely not regulated unless your activity crosses into commercial content production, which is, you know, it's a different topic. It's a much more nuanced question. That's about basically who the law covers and not. Now, those who are covered by the law, so these are the entities that create this kind of content, that do these kinds of activities that are subject to the law. So what's next? Well, if you are one of those media establishments, then therefore you are required to be licensed, right? So that's the other aspect of this law. And so it's called the gatekeeper of media activity in the UAE. So it's like, that's the media council. While much attention is given to the UAE media law's content restrictions and classification standards, one of the most sort of fundamental far-reaching requirement is this. So anyone engaging in professional media activity must be licensed by the UAE Media Council. Okay, so this is important to highlight, and I will continue to say this over and over again. And this is, again, the law is not super new. It's been around for 2 years, and in fact, I thought I had covered it before, but obviously somehow I didn't. I know we discussed it internally. The idea, you know, this is new because until 2023, influencers and all these sort of media content creators, they just... You know, they ran their platforms and from their homes, and they were not subject to any regulations, right? So as of 2023, now if you are doing any kind of media activity, you are required to be licensed by the Media Council. So, and this is, by the way, it's not just an administrative formality, it's a legal prerequisite for operating any commercial media business in the country. So now the legal basis for licensing. The law, if anybody's interested, the licensing framework is set up in the main law, the 2023 law, which is law number 55, and in particular Article 6 and 7. Article 6, for example, prohibits any person or entity from engaging in media activity without a valid license from the UAE Media Council. And then Article 7 grants the UAE Media Council exclusive authority to use, renew, suspend, or revoke licenses. So Media Council plays a very big role here. And then as I mentioned earlier, the subsequent regulation to the main law, which is the Cabinet Decision Number 27 of 2024, as is often referred to as executive regulations, it details over 30 distinct license categories, outlining application procedures, renewal timelines, and sort of defining licensing exemptions. So if you're looking to what kind of license you need to apply, that's basically it will be the executive regulations that you need to look at, because it's a lot more detailed than the law, the main law itself. The objectives of the licensing regime, as we sort of touched upon earlier, is to ensure accountability of content creators and publishers, and then also monitor who is influencing public discourse, very important, and then safeguard cultural values, religious harmony, and national identity, as well as enable enforcement of classification, advertising, and sponsorship rules. As a final catch-all, is to promote professionalism and transparency in the media sector. In short, licensing brings structure and traceability to an otherwise borderless and decentralized media environment. And let's face it, you know, it all makes sense to us now, especially after we have seen what digital media can do and has done, and how quickly it has moved and progressed and developed, and how much it affects of basically all that we do on a daily basis. And most importantly, yeah, let's not forget, I mean, why is such a big deal? Because people actually rely on this information, right? The people rely on influencers, on this very, you know, podcasters, and they don't just rely in terms of, I learned this bit of information. They often rely in very substantive ways, such as, for example, they'll make investments on the basis of information that is shared. You know, they will sign agreements. You know, they will make decisions, you know, sometimes live decisions on the basis of information they hear. There could be a medical or health advisor that would also give, or, you know, sort of wannabe health professional that is sharing some information. So the idea here, if it's a health professional who's actually licensed as a doctor providing this information, well, obviously then, you know, they don't need regulation, because their very expertise and licensing and experience is in providing medical advice. But if it's someone who is just a great, who has a gab, you know, a gift of the gab, as the saying goes, and who is very eloquent and who just great media presence and is telling you something about some sort of health benefits of a particular cream or food, yeah, that becomes quite, you know, this is the area where the authorities, for obvious reasons, want to regulate. Because if somebody's telling you, you know, you need to drink only sort of your cold water for the next 10 days and you'll be forever young, I mean, obviously drawing kind of a ridiculous example, but if it's, you know, it can harm people, right? So that's why the authorities want to regulate these kinds of influencers, to make sure that if they do share information to the public, that they are monitored, you know, and they can only share information that that the public can actually rely on, or should be able to rely. Otherwise, it can be extremely dangerous. And we've seen and heard many examples of that. I'm sure many would agree. In terms of, like, more specifically, so who will need the license, you know, to operate in just specific examples? You know, you've got the traditional media and outlets like TV, radio, print, online publishers and bloggers, by the way, as well. Influencers monetizing content or accepting paid partnerships, YouTubers and TikTok creators with commercial accounts. So this is about license. Remember, this is, we've established that they are covered by the law. Now, this is like, if you are covered by the law and you're one of these, you need to have a license. Podcast producers with sponsorships and monetized distribution, film, video, and documentary producers, advertising and PR agencies, game developers, publishing to UAE users, and streaming platforms and web broadcasters, as well as AI-generated media tools publishing at scale. Notably, this is another kind of an add-on, is that even freelancers or solo content creators must apply for a license if they earn money through brand deals, ads, endorsements, or promotional campaigns. So in other words, you don't necessarily need to have a legal legal entity behind you to also require a license. You could just be a freelancer, but if you have these commercial collaborative opportunities, then you're required to get the license from the Media Council. Now, in terms of the types of licenses, there are many. And this is where the regulations, the 2024 regulations, set out 30 plus license categories. And so there is, so that's, in other words, if you're one of those media or content creators, which license would you apply? So there is the influencer license, there is a digital publishing license, audio podcast production license, a film and video production license, media consultancy license, that's important as well, advertising and marketing, news agency license, printing and distribution license, a game publishing license. And each license, as is expected, has its own application criteria, required documents, annual renewal obligations, and scope limitations in terms of type of media and geographic focus. So that's why you need to first identify, you know, what kind of content you create before you pick the license activity that sort of suits and it describes your very much your media content creation. So there are some exemptions, licensing exemptions, and which are set out in particular in the regulations, the executive regulations from 2024. And specifically, some non-commercial content may be exempt, such as educational or scientific material, a religious or cultural commentary, which is not sponsored. Personal blogs or accounts without monetization. I mean, that's, I guess, let's be clear that somebody who, let's say, leads or keeps a very detailed food blog or travel blog just for themselves and share with their friends, as long as they don't have any paid collaborations or monetization, then they're not expected or required to get a license. But also internal communications by businesses promoting their own services, which is what we described before. So those ones are the biggest exemptions. However, these exemptions must be confirmed sometimes by the UN Media Council. So if the line is narrow and you're not sure whether you might or might not be exempt, then the sure thing to do is to always apply to the council and seek their clarification. And by the way, the council reserves the right to require licensing if content reaches a broader public audience and is perceived otherwise promotional. So in other words, let's say food blogger or travel blogger, if at some point in time they create a following that the Media Council believes to be of much broader appeal and is otherwise could perceive as promotional, they may require for them to ultimately qualify for the license. Now, penalties. If you do not follow these rules, then the penalties can be quite severe. And the rules, that is about licensing. If you operate without a license, you can land yourself in fairly significant financial trouble. And that's because operating without a license may lead to fines of up to 1 million dirhams, especially for influencers and agencies. So don't play with fire. It can be quite pricey. Just because you've managed to exist as a very successful influencer all these years without having to have a license should not give you comfort that you can continue to do so safely. Even if you've been doing it since the law was introduced, just because you have not been identified or zeroed in on yet does not mean that you won't. Because as I've described here, the regulations are pretty clear, so it's just a matter of time before the authorities will identify you as a media establishment requiring a license, and in that point in time you may be fined up to 1 million dirhams. So it's much better to have a license. It's not too super costly than to just ride on your previous experience of not being held to task and expecting that they will continue as such. Also, in addition to monetary fines, there could be a suspension or a ban of any kind of content or accounts. So that's, for influencers, is a big deal. That's perhaps the worst. And then also there could be something more serious like confiscation of equipment and proceeds. So think about it. This basically where the government is coming after the influencers and not only – fining them and suspending their accounts, but also clawing everything that they might have received in the past. And finally, basically blacklisting with media and licensing authorities. So again, the penalties for operating without a license are not insignificant. So be very careful and remember that the licensing process is not very cumbersome and it's not extremely expensive. So it's better to be safe than sorry, especially if you want to continue to be successful, you know, sooner or later. I guess the definition of success is that you will continue to be better known. And the better known you are, the more of a sort of on the radar you will be with the authorities. So you don't want to find yourself in a situation where these fines will be applied to you. So the bottom line, so if you're publishing content as a business, sharing information as a profession, or monetizing media in any form, you need a license. Now, let's talk about, so we talked about who falls under the law. We talked about the licensing requirement for those who fall under the law. And now let's just say the other, perhaps the biggest aspect of the law is the content. You know, what type of content is allowed and what is not allowed. And so the way that's sort of defined, it's more in terms of the what is not allowed, right? It's there's at least 20 mandatory content standards. And they include, just in relevant terms, for example, prohibition against insulting religion or offending religious sentiments, defaming the state, its symbols or institutions, promoting hate speech, racism or sectarianism, publishing false or misleading information, encouraging violence, extremism or criminal behavior, violating public morals or displaying indecency, undermining national security or unity and stirring unrest, disclosing confidential and sensitive state data, or promoting harmful behavior such as, you know, drugs, gambling, or suicide. If content falls into any of these categories, it may not be published, regardless of the audience size, intention, or creative expression. So this is really, really important, okay? So this is, you know, although as I mentioned earlier, it does not necessarily apply to these content standards, if you will, to those who don't fall under the media law, but they certainly should be the filter for anybody who communicates any their information in any way, his businesses and such, in the digital or traditional media. And that's because basically it sets out, you know, what does the UAE consider to be okay and safe information, and what is dangerous information. So you do not want to fall on the wrong side of this particular law. And that's because if you're found to have sort of your content is found to have been, for example, defaming state or promoting hate speech, it can lead to some serious problems. It's not just about your account, and it can lead to criminal prosecution. So and deportation, by the way, as well. So this can be very, very serious. So this is the one aspect of the law that I highly encourage all those. I mean, those most influencers who've been in the UAE, who kind of grew up in the UAE in terms of their influencer persona, would know this. But anybody who decides to move to the UAE, I highly recommend you read the law and you read these particular content standards, because it's not like it is in other countries, right? So the more of a presence, the bigger presence you have, obviously, the more visible you will be, and therefore the more of a target, and therefore in the country's eyes, the more damage you can create for the country. So therefore, the actions will be very swift and rather unforgiving. So make sure you understand the law if you're entering the space for the first time or in the region. So the other type of content that's being regulated by the law is anything to do with sort of minors, right? So special protections for minors. So any kind of content accessible to children must avoid themes of violence, sexual content, or moral corruption. And therefore, this age classification is mandatory, which is covered sort of shortly, and failure to comply can lead to penalties. Now, this is, you know, as I say that, I am fully aware that there's so much content out there that our kids are faced with on a daily basis and without any of these classifications, and which, you know, otherwise should be inaccessible to them. But and this is why the law was introduced, you know, recently, and the purpose of the law, that as time goes on, the more sort of muscle it grows, the more it will, I would expect, for it to enforce the standards on all type of media to make sure to protect children in particular. So let's kind of talk about more specifically about the age content classification, which is, you know, to protect the younger generation and guiding the rest of us. So one of the central pillars of the UAE's new media regulatory regime is the introduction of the mandatory age-based classification system for all forms of public content. So this framework was introduced first in the sort of the main media law in 2023, and then further was elaborated by the executive regulations in 2024. And as stated in the laws, so the purpose of the age classifications, obviously to protect the minors from inappropriate, violent, and disturbing content, and also to help parents and guardians make informed choices about the media their children consume. And this is, you know, this is why, is if the content is properly rated or categorized, at least gives the parents or the guardians the ability to filter that content. And also, so the other purpose of this age classification system is to establish a consistent national standard for content rating across various formats and platforms, and ultimately to align the UAE with international best practices while reflecting its cultural and moral values. So in essence, it's a content traffic light, so guiding what's suitable, what requires supervision, or what's off limits for certain ages. Now, in terms of what categories are to involve this, you know, first of all, the specific provisions that relate to this is the Article 10 in 2023 media law, which mandates classification of media content based on audience age and content sensitivity. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the regulation that followed later, which provides a more detailed framework, including specific rating categories, criteria for each level, and obligations for media entities to label, restrict, and report accordingly. So the official age rating categories are as follows. You know, there's basically G, PG, PG-13, 15+, 18+, and 21+. So G stands for general audience, and that's suitable for all ages, contains no content that would offend or disturb any age group. So I would hope that for the purposes of kids, you know, this is the G is very visible, and most parents and guardians would make sure that, especially as technology evolves, hopefully there will be more options to filter content that's accessible by kids only to G or the general audience category. The other category is PG, which is parental guidance suggested, so that some content may not be suitable for young children, and so it's subject to parental supervision. And then there's the PG-13, which is the parental guidance for children under 13. It may contain unsuitable information for children under 13, such as mild violence, suggestive themes, supervision required. Then there's the plus, 15+, which is suitable for only for viewers age 15 and above. And equally so, it may include some moderate violence, thematic elements, or strong language. There's 18+, restricted to adults, may contain intense violence, mature themes, or explicit language. And then 21+, this is a very UAE-specific designation, and it's reserved for highly mature, culturally sensitive content, and often used for works exploring like deep sort of political, religious, or psychological themes that are not more meant for general adult audiences. So the 21+ label is unique to the UAE and reflects its sort of heightened caution around ultra-sensitive material, even for adults. Now, as I say that, I mean, maybe people think, oh, we've seen these terms before. Yeah, but we've seen them in our application in terms of traditional media, right? We've got films in particular, but we have not seen these categories used for digital or social media, the sort of the new age media content. So this is quite interesting. So it's kind of takes on the some aspects of the traditional media and clearly expressly layers it on to the current social media and digital media content. So age classification also applies to any kind of media content made available to the public, including, you know, films and TV shows, online video content, video games and apps, books and comics, music, violence and performances, So music videos and performances, and then advertisements with mature or suggestive elements. So remember, what this means is that for anybody in that space, you know, if you're in books and comics or your music videos and performances or your films, the law applies to you as well. And so in terms of the standards that you must follow, you must rely on these standards that's set out in the law, you know, it, for whatever kind of medium, regardless of what medium you're in, including books and comics. And then in terms of the obligations for media entities regarding the specific classification is that they must pre-classify content first. So all media establishments must assign a proposed rating before publishing, and then also file a content classification declaration with the UAE Media Council. They next must sort of label very clearly, and so the rating must be visibly marked on the platform or material, for example, starting with video in the app store or on the packaging. It must clearly state which one of those categories. And also there's a restriction on distribution, so content rated 18 plus and 21 plus must be age-gated, such as through platform setting, verification pop-ups, or restricted advertising. So it should not be accessible to anybody below to purchase or view to anybody below those age categories. And then also one of the other requirements is it must be also, depending on the content, must be submitted to for review to the Media Council. So and the Media Council may review and reclassify any content if the proposed rating is found inaccurate or misleading. Now, penalties for non-compliance, in other words, for misclassification of content, could be quite severe. So publishing content without proper rating or misclassifying would be subject to what's called the Tier 2 or Tier 3 penalties under this most recent regulation, which is the 2025 regulation. And this may result in fines ranging from 50,000 dirhams to 500,000 dirhams and suspension of content and ultimately license revocation. So bottom line, if you're in the business of producing or distributing media in the UAE, classify before you publish, because in today's regulatory environment, age matters and so does compliance. A few other additional comments is in terms of content classification. It's, you know, the entities must file, as I mentioned earlier, this content classification declaration with the UAE Media Council. And certain content types may require specific pre-approval, particularly if it's politically sensitive, religiously themed, targeted to minors, and based on real-life events or persons. Also, some of the other additional requirements is that language and imagery must be appropriate for public consumption. Sponsored or paid content must be clearly marked as advertising. This is important. Remember, if you are being paid to promote the hair product, you need to clearly indicate on your platform that it is being paid. And then content must also avoid plagiarism or copyright violations. It's going to be a little harder to do these days with AI, but the law provides for it. And then also content that impersonates individuals, institutions, or official sources may be deemed deceptive. So be very careful not to create some sort of misinterpretation of who you're affiliated with. So now finally we come to the 2025 regulation that kind of sparked this whole recent discussion about media law, and that's basically decision number 42 of 2025, which, again, did not introduce anything new in terms of the substantive regulation about the media industry, but sets out a very detailed and structured sort of system of penalties. And ultimately for the purpose of deterring violations and to support for sort of ethical and lawful practices. So perhaps maybe this is why such a big deal was made about it, is just to draw public's attention that if you don't follow the law, and the penalties can be quite severe, sort of a high level, it's like a four-tier penalty system. So tier one, which is these are minor technical violations that will result in fines between 5,000 to 40,000. Well, maybe minor, but the 40,000 penalty is not that minor. Examples of these minor violations are sort of late license renewals or failure to label age classification. because that's tier one. Tier two, this is serious regulatory non-compliance. And the penalties for this kind of violation is from 50,000 dirhams to 150,000 dirhams. And this, some of the examples includes like misleading promotions or publishing without required license. So quite specific and very financially serious. And then, so that's tier two. Tier three is the major ethical breaches, and that we can result in fines of anything between 200,000 dirhams to 500,000 dirhams, so 500,000 dirhams. And this includes anything related to cultural or religious offenses and false health or financial claims, as I mentioned earlier. Remember those sort of health practitioners or health wellness influencers who perhaps are making false health claims. Be very, very careful. You can end up getting fined quite significantly. So that's tier three. And then tier four, this is the grave offenses or repeat violations. And here the penalties or the fines range from anything from 1 million dirhams to 2 million dirhams. And they include anything, any kind of content that incites violence or division or endangers minors or promotes illegal or criminal activity. So, by the way, I guess that means that if you're listening to this podcast, you know, and you're not necessarily in the media industry, but you're interested in sort of how media is regulated, just be mindful. So if you, let's say, you see content that does all this, feel free to report it to the Media Council. I mean, that's the idea, because obviously we don't want content out there that sort of incites violence or division or endangers minors or promotes any kind of illegal activity. So all of us who see that kind of content, we should feel the obligation to at least raise it to the attention of the authorities. And then these are just financial penalties, and they also can include license suspension, website or app blocking. I've dealt with influencers quite a bit in our practice, and for them this is their death sentence. You know, if their website or app is blocked. So it's much more serious in many cases than just the financial penalty. But in addition, so this is perhaps for them, for a lot of the influencers, is the biggest punishment. But in addition, it can also include asset seizure and ultimately blacklisting. And then there's a specific kind of penalty for influencers, and that's if you operate without a license as an influencer, there's a 1 million dirham fine. So remember, and then as I mentioned earlier, so promoting unlicensed services or misinformation may escalate it to tier three and four. So very, very serious. Okay, so final thoughts. You know, so what does this mean for all of us, you know, and you? So these regulations are not about restricting speech. This is very important. They're about ensuring accountability for those who professionally shape public opinion. And they also protect the UAE's diverse and multicultural society. And finally, empower consumers with transparent, safe, and verified media. That's all for this episode of Logica with Ludmila. If you find this episode useful and you like what we do, you can always find more on our website. That's at lylawyers.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.